This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
This Arrow FM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. I'm your host, Jane Ross. Joining me today is the immensely talented Charlie Fawkes. I first met Charlie as part of the Wairarapa Film Festival. He came with a group of friends to meet some like-minded people when we did a screening a couple of years ago down in South Wairarapa. I have been watching his rising star, and today we're going to talk to Charlie about his introduction into the screen industry and what he has been working on. He joins me now. Good morning, Charlie. Kia ora, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jane?
I'm doing really well. It's beautiful and sunny here in the Wairarapa. Whereabouts are you today?
Yes, I'm in Wellington, and I mean, it's not, you know, not too much of a distance between us, but yeah, it's a great day.
I would love to start by having a chat with you and getting a sense of how you first became interested in film and animation in particular. But let's go back to when you first realized this is actually me. This is from me.
I mean, like, yeah, because film and animation can, you know, they very much go hand in hand. So you can sort of sometimes see them as the same thing. And that was certainly my experience growing up and just being a fanatic for anything animated. And I was, I really liked the, I don't know, trappings of Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon. And it was this era it was like the 2010s, and I was sort of in the perfect time for it. But it was this new era of cartoons it was modern stuff, but it sort of had this bite to it. It had this really this really strange edge that doesn't necessarily you don't see in a lot of shows today, especially for that age group. And so it was the things like, you know, Adventure Time and Regular Show, where they can get quite disturbing, and the humor has like a strangeness to it. But in terms of film in particular, my grandma used to take me to a lot of movies in the cinema. And I remember one moment that still sticks out in particular is when you went to the Lego movie. And it was sort of, you know, like I was addicted to Lego and addicted to film. And so it was this perfect sort of mix of and that movie, there wasn't much expectation for it. It was sort of, it seemed, you know, it had this huge brand attached, and it didn't seem like it would be anything special past the Lego brand. But, like, that movie is amazing. It's so funny. It's very clever. It uses the brand very, very, it's sort of, you forget that it's Lego, and you're just watching these characters and this weird world, and the humor is so particular. And so that movie really sort of like spurred my love, maybe for comedy as well. And yeah, it's very poignant still to me.
Amazing. I love that when I talk to people about their first experiences with cinema, it never leaves them.
Exactly, and that movie as well, like it really does work for multiple audiences, because I was laughing, but then Nandi was laughing as well, and so it was this multi-generational thing, and that's something I've tried to sort of put into my work as well, where it can appeal to children, but it's also got like this another layer to it that adults can find funny and connect to.
Fabulous. Now, when I met you, our mutual friend Alfio Leota leaned in and said to me, Charlie is a very gifted animator. So that love of watching animation has actually turned into something that is now like a career pathway for you. But talk me through how this has happened. Like, what, where did you go to after like falling in love with the Lego movie? Like, what happened to propel you into this amazing career pathway that you've begun?
Yeah, well, I think, like, thankfully, I sort of grew up in an age where you could sort of, there was so much, you could sort of do anything, study anything. And you know, I'd watch sort of interviews with the people that I really admired that were in animation. And so from a very young age, I knew that animation is something you could do as a job, and you could work on films as a career. And yeah. I think that was a really, because it's not always like that. And listening to my you know, idols speak about their life path, they weren't always conscious that, you know, film, TV could be a job for them. So, you know, I think because of the internet, I knew that very quickly. And so I never hesitated on it. And it was always a thing that I worked towards, a lot of it, you know, unconsciously. But I knew what I wanted to do, and I never sort of, I had the opportunity to do it. And thanks, you know, my family were very supportive, and they saw that, they saw the sort of, my passion very clearly, and there weren't any roadblocks. So it was a very, easy transition from, you know, those transitional periods that are, that where you have to make hard decisions. I never had to make very hard decisions because I already sort of, it was already cemented in my brain.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it felt very sort of seamless. And so it was a very, you know, easy transition from high school into studying animation here in Wellington. And then even the transition from studying at Massey into the you know, into the career I'm doing now. So, yeah, it's been a very luxurious sort of path so far. So long may that continue. We'll see. I don't know, but yeah, it was it felt very natural from the beginning.
What was it like studying at Massey? Did you start to develop your own ideas and concepts for different kinds of animated films?
Yes, yeah, and I was always doing that, and I found, you know, studying at Massey, and I'm not sure how this, you know, relates universally, but you have a lot of free time, and so I really pounced on that and tried to make the most of it. And so a lot of the stuff I made, and a lot of the stuff that has carried through to, you know, introducing me to this job and this funding and these opportunities, that was all spurred from me working on my own stuff outside of class, and almost university was like the buffer, the very expensive buffer to you know, before you hit the workforce. So yeah, it was just like, you know, again, the passion of wanting to make stuff, wanting to just express myself creatively through animation, drawing, writing, and trying to learn multiple crafts, whether it be, you know, I really got into screenwriting in Massey as well, just on my own accord, and just through really becoming addicted to film and TV. So yeah, it was just sort of my own, I don't know, dedication to it. And that's something, you know, I've done a few lectures recently, and I'll say, like, you know, I'll tell them, just, you know, if you, because you will have free time, you're studying animation, there's downtime, mm-hmm. make your own stuff. And a lot of the time it's like, not a lot of people are doing it. And it's quite sad. And if you're studying animation, there has to be a certain level of, you know, passion for it, or like, you know, you want to make stuff and express yourself. So, I mean, that's always my advice, just to spend as much time as possible refining what you're making, and yeah, whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I guess in addition to that, you have crafted the skills in telling a story, telling stories through different mediums. Because not long after I met you, the next thing I heard about you was reading online that you had pitched to New Zealand On Air and had been awarded funding to make your very first series. What was that like? Tell me about that.
Well, it was, yeah, very, very crazy. And it's certainly a thing that took a while to wrap your head around completely and understand the mechanics of how that works, how to set up a fully fledged animation production, sort out the pipeline. So it was, you know, a very quick rush of adrenaline and confidence. And then the technicalities of signing contracts and stuff quickly took the wind out of out of that excitement. But no, it's been a dream come true. Just so fortunate and lucky. And also, a lot of it is my producers, Ben Paldrew and Francesca Carney, who a lot of people know and love. They sort of mapped out the entire thing and have kept us on track, because without them, it would have been, we wouldn't have got the funding. It was very much the perfect marriage of my idea, their expertise and ways, you know, their methods of connecting with executives and their logic. And so, yeah, it's been massive. It's been crazy. And it's quite surreal that we're almost at the end of it. It's very close.
What's the name of the series and what's it about?
I should probably mention the name.
Tell us about it.
It's called Bloke of the Apocalypse. It's a 2D animated series following a father and son in rural New Zealand who have to combat the zombie apocalypse. So it's very much based on my childhood in Gisborne on the East Coast, and my family and sort of the stereotypical, stubborn Kiwi bloke and his son, who is very much the opposite of that. So it's these two very different ideologies sort of in the boiling pot that is a zombie apocalypse. So
I love a zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. It's really the most like stressful thing you can put characters into. And so that seemed like a very natural choice. And yeah, I love all the trappings of, you know, the apocalyptic wasteland and everything. So I think it's very unique and I'm so proud of it. And we recently just, you know, wrapped the final sound mix of it and watching it through with all the, you know, bells and whistles was really satisfying.
How long had you worked on this for?
So this was something like, you know, I touched on it before, but, you know, throughout uni, this was the project that I started working on.
Wow.
You know, sort of on my own accord. And that would have been 2023, the first episode came out. And so it was over 9 months, I made three episodes. And it was such a fun period because it was, you know, I was in one of the university halls and I was working with my mates and just doing silly voices and then I'd go off and animate it for about 3 months. And I very much romanticized like those that year, but I'm sure like we had no sunlight in that little flat and it was I'm sure like, you know, it's all condensed now, so it seems fun in retrospect.
Yeah You had your own apocalyptic environment to take inspiration from.
Exactly. When you have no sunlight, it very much can really, you know, mess with your mood. But we're fine. We're in the sun now. It's all right.
Good. Now, where is the series going? Like, how do people get to see it? When is it going to be launched for public viewing?
Yeah, so that's a good point. It's coming to YouTube on the 31st of October. Just the whole series coming out that day.
Halloween.
And Halloween, exactly. And there was sort of, you know, discussion about whether we go for the Halloween marketing campaign. But that, I feel like it's almost against the spirit of like Kiwiana, and you know that it seems very American. So mm-hmm. it's just quiet. We're just quietly sort of pushing it out on Halloween. But yeah, that connection very much makes sense. And then I'm this is all official as well, but we're having a premiere at Terrify Film Festival on the 30th, so the day before, and it'll be amazing to watch it with an audience and in an actual cinema and be part of a film festival. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
How do people find out about Terrify?
They're online, so it will be, I think it will be Wellington, Christchurch and Auckland. And they're on Instagram and everything. So, yeah, James Partridge, who's the founder, is really just so passionate about film. And like yourself, Jane, he's just an amazing proponent for, I don't know, Kiwi talent and seeing, dreams coming true on the big screen. It's, yeah. It's really exciting. Yeah.
Oh, right. So people can jump online and book tickets for Terrify and check out the program. But also come the 31st of October, it'll be live on YouTube. And we just search the Bloke of the Apocalypse.
Yes. Yeah.
No, woohoo. Yeah. How exciting. How are you feeling right now?
It's sort of a mixture of, you know, like, intense excitement and then the anxiety of it like going out into the universe, but it they're leveled at the moment, they're sort of, you know, at the same point. So it's mostly just, you know, really excited for that premiere and having my family see it for the first time and truly seeing themselves on the big screen,
because yeah,
my mum, dad and little brother came in and have each got little cameos in the show.
Oh, fabulous.
And yeah, it will be a really special time. I'm just, yeah, very excited to just, because it's only a few eyes have seen it, so it will be quite surreal for it to be sort of finished and out there and everyone's sort of watching it.
But it's time. Yeah. It's definitely time.
Yes, exactly. It's been a long road, but yeah, we're almost there. Yeah.
And how can people follow you, Charlie?
I am on Instagram at Fauxky, Faulksie. And then I'm also on YouTube, which is where the show will be premiering under that same tag. So yeah, and I'm posting videos to YouTube at the moment, just trying out different stuff and starting to sort of pivot and do different things
fabulous. I highly encourage everyone to check out Charlie Fauxky's work online. I'm really looking forward to seeing the series, and I'll certainly be sharing the news as we get closer and encouraging more people to engage with what you've been working on. I love that you've taken inspiration from where you're from. It's always a brilliant way to draw upon what we know to bring them to life on a big screen. I think we always encounter particular people in our lives that at some point we think, this person's going to make a really great character in a story someday.
And it makes it so much easier. This is the easiest thing I've ever written. And that's because the characters are just, you know, carbon copies of my dad and then my little brother and as well as myself. So when you know these people in real life, you can be so specific about how you write them, how they react to certain situations, and then just the interpersonal conversations and everything. So, as a writer, it really makes it a bit easier, even though writing's the toughest thing in the world. So if you've got like a specific sort of archetype in your life, try and, I don't know, fit it into a story, because it can, it really just livens it up.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Charlie, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And I just wanted to wrap up by, I just wish you all the really best. I know that you are this hugely talented young man that has a real gift to offer the world. I'm excited that you're sharing that with the world, and highly encourage people to check you out online. And I'm wishing you well.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you too. And I love to see all the stuff happening in Masterton and Wired Upper. It's like the community up there is very inspiring, and the passion for everything is, it's really cool to see. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. We'll be bringing you back to the Wired Upper, don't you worry.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it.